KY says.
Sup, Kailasaib, and welcome back to another Satsang session with Kaival Youth. We are excited to continue this Upasana translation journey with you all, so let's get started. Before we start, we would like to make shout-outs to our amazing Kaival Youth team. From scripting to recording to producing, everyone is doing a great job. Your dedication and seva are truly inspirational.
Satkeval Sahib to our beautiful KY members. We are back for another riveting episode of Upasana Translations. Are y'all ready? Bhavi, are you ready?
Yes, Radhi, let's do this. So this will be our fourth Upasana Translation episode. Wow, we have come a long way.
Yes, we have. Thank you to all of our Kaival Youth members who listen to our podcast. We hope they are helping you build your faith.
Yes, and we would also like to thank our selfless and loving KY community members and volunteers who are doing a great seva to help us put each of these podcasts together. You hear Radhiya and I every week, but there is one other person who works in the background who is heavily involved in this project, and that is one of our members, Nilay. Nilay has been involved in our Satkeval organization for quite some time now, and he truly is doing a great job in helping to get these episodes together.
We wouldn't be able to continue our projects without such amazing teamwork from each and every one of our members. There are so many people behind the scenes who work and put together all of our Kaival Youth projects, including this Satsang podcast. You might not hear them every week, you might not see them every week, but they are all there and they are helping us to build our Kaival Youth organization and all of the projects that go along with it. All of you are doing an amazing job, and we love working with each and every one of you. Teamwork really does make the dream work.
And so now, without waiting any longer, I would like to welcome our KY guests for this episode, Kush and Rhea. Kush is our KY board secretary, and he has been involved in our Kaival Youth organization for years.
He is one of Chicago Mandir's original and fabulous kiddos, and has been involved in our Chicago Mandir since it was established in 2006. And actually, he's been involved, him and his sister, in our organizational activities and events since they were little munchkins. They probably just don't even remember. And Rhea has also been involved in our Satkeval organization since she was so young. I remember her parents driving up to all of our Mandir programs, and even before Mandir was established, to our other programs, and they would bring Rhea and Hirsch with them.
Yes, and as soon as she started college, she quickly started doing KY activities to stay involved. We are so happy to have both of you on this episode. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us. I'm so excited to be on this episode. I love that we are translating our Upasana. Growing up, that was such a regular part of our daily routine. We did it because our parents told us to, and we knew it was helping us get closer to Param Guru. But I always wanted to learn the meanings.
Yes, I would remember that we learned about some lines here or there in Satsang at Mandir, but I would always wonder if there was a way for us to learn more. I also think this is nice because when I'm listening to an episode, I can pause it and re-listen to a part or come back to it later. Thanks for having us be a part of this. I'm ready to learn more about our Upasana. We are translating our Parikrama 1 today, right?
Yep, you're right. So before we move on, can we please review what we have done so far?
Well, the first episode was about our Mangala and Shangar Arti, which we do first in our Upasana.
And the second episode was about Gartha Stuti, which follows the Artis.
And the third episode was about Gartha Stuti Sakhi and Jayvidhi, which follow Gartha Stuti.
Right, so that is the first section of the Upasana. And now after the Jayvidhi, we will continue to the next section of Upasana, which is Parikrama.
What is Parikrama?
Okay, I'm not sure about the word-to-word breakdown, but I know Parikrama means to walk in a circle around a guru or deity.
Yes, that is right. So do you know there actually is an English word for Parikrama? Do either of you want to guess?
I don't know this one. Kush?
No. I'm not so sure either.
So Parikrama translates to the word circumambulation, and it literally means the act of moving around a sacred object or deity, which is exactly what you said, Kush. So just like all the other customs and traditions in our faith, this too has an origin.
And as we sing this parikrama, we will connect our physical actions to our prarthana by actually doing the parikrama, which is by walking in circles around Paramguru.
In Sarsa and other mandirs, where the structures support this action, bhaktos actually do pradakshina around Paramguru as they sing parikrama. Pradakshina is just a synonym for parikrama. They mean the same thing. There are a few words that mean the same thing in our languages. So another word you might hear is prakamma. Prakamma, pradakshina, parikrama, they all mean the same thing. And they all mean that we walk in a circle around Paramguru.
Okay, I get that. But something I have always wondered is why do we do these circular movements around our deity or Paramguru? What is the purpose of that?
There are two reasons behind doing this. Parikrama is a symbol of our devotion. We are making Paramguru the center of our attention, symbolically saying our lives revolve around him. We implement his teachings in our daily activities in some way and in somehow. For example, Paramguru teaches us that we should always speak good vachan. Vachan means words. So then we make sure we don't speak negatively, like swearing, lying, gossiping, and hurting others. In this way, we implement his teachings throughout our lives by making him the center.
So, just like in our aartis, where we're connecting the prarthana on a mental and physical level, we're doing that here, trying to make a mind, body, and spirit connection.
And the second reason we do parikrama is to receive Paramguru's blessings through his divinity. An individual of Paramguru's stature and abilities has so much powerful and divine energy emanating from his every pore. By circulating around him, we are receiving his blessings from his unique and divine aura. It influences our minds to be more positive and helps us cleanse our minds of negativity.
Oh yeah, I remember Guruji explaining this at Shibir.
Yeah, so do I. Alright, so just to clarify, we're translating our first parikrama today, right? I know we have four, but honestly, I've only been exposed to the first one. I don't really know much about the other ones.
We do have four parikramas. Pujya Sri Nandaji Maharaj, remember, he's our second Kuviracharya, wrote four parikramas. In Sarsa, the tradition is to alternate, sing one each day and then start back from one. However, Guruji has said that if we do parikrama one every day, that is okay.
Okay, but why are there four? Is there a specific purpose behind it?
Each parikrama is a step. Parikrama one is step one. Parikrama 2 is step 2, and so on and so forth. Each step towards building this relationship with Paramguru. In Parikrama 1, Narandas Ji Maharaj first sets a foundation. What does it mean to be Paramguru's bhakt? What will it give us? What kind of guru is Paramguru?
And in Parikrama 2, Narandas Ji Maharaj explains, I have this kind of guru. My Paramguru will help me in any way I need.
In Parikrama 3, he goes on to the next step to explain what kind of bhaks we must be and what kind of bhakti and positive karam a person must do to receive a guru like Paramguru.
And in Parikrama 4, the final step, he discusses what one should do once he or she has obtained such a guru as Paramguru. Paramguru's true bhaktos are loyal, fierce, courageous, and have spirit.
Wow, I had no idea it was set up like this. That is pretty cool. I would like to learn these other parikramas now.
Okay, but what if we start with the number one first and then we can see about the others as we move forward in our upasana translations?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Radhi, what if we try something a little different? What if you and I do the word-to-word translations and Kush and Rhea can do the overall meanings of the verse?
Ooh, I like that idea. What do you both think? Bobby and I can help you whenever you need.
I think we can do that. Rhea?
Yeah, we can do that. Or we will try at least.
Great. All right, singers, can we sing verse 1, please?
Chalo santa sajana prakama prabhuni karojo Shrimat kuvera charana shisha prite tarojo.
So the first line, Chalo santa sajana prakama prabhuni karojo. Chalo means let's go. Sant are the santos, which are the pious saints. Sajan means bhaktos. Prakrama is a synonym for parikrama, which we already defined. Prabhu is translated to my lord, and in this case it's referring to Param Guru. Nikarojo means to do.
So in this first line, we are saying to all the santos and bhaktos, let's go do parikrama of Param Guru.
Yes, exactly. And the second line, Srimat Kuvera Charana Shisha Prite Dharo Jo. Srimat Kuver is Param Guru. Remember, Kuver is another name for Param Guru, and Srimat is a suffix which added shows status. Charan means feet. Shish means head. Prite means with love. And Dharo Jo means to give, or in this case, bow down.
So in the second line, we are saying that we should bow our heads onto Param Guru's charan with love.
Yes, exactly right. Nice job with that. So overall, in this first line, Narandashi Maharaj is calling upon all the santos and bhaktos to come and do parikrama around Param Guru, and he's advising everyone to bow their heads onto Param Guru's charan with love. Okay? So singers, can we do our next verse, please?
So, was this the first verse or was this the chorus? Or is the chorus considered the first verse?
That is a good question. Parikrama is a type of prasna that does have a chorus, and we do repeat it after each verse. The first couplet that we just translated is actually the chorus. We are about to sing the actual first verse right now. Singers?
Kadam ek koti agnya phal paam shojo Chorashi laksh janam kiru dukh vam shojo
Kadam ek koti yagna phal paam shojo. I just love this first line so much, because in this first line, with this first verse, Narandashi Maharaj has perfectly explained what it means to be Param Guru's true bhakti, what Param Guru's true bhakti will give us. And I just love this verse so much. But let's do the word-to-word first. All right, so kadam means footstep. Ek means one. Koti means countless. Yagna is one type of religious ritual that yields many good blessings. So I'm sure most of you are aware. We set up a little like pit of fire, and then we put ghee in it as a priest or Brahmin says mantras. Phal or phad means fruits. Pama shojo means to receive. So what do you think this first verse means, or this first line of this first verse?
Okay, so in this first line, we are saying that we receive the same fruits from one footstep as countless yagnas. But one footstep where?
Around Param Guru. Okay, remember, a prarthana is a conversation that flows in order. So in the chorus, we establish that let's take parikrama around Param Guru and bow our heads into Param Guru's feet. In this first verse, Narandashi Maharaj is saying that just by taking this one footstep of this parikrama, you will receive fruits that you might get if you do countless yagnas. This is how powerful Param Guru's bhakti and seva are. They give us such an unquantifiable amount.
Exactly. And then the second line of this first verse, Chorashi laksh janam keru dukha vama shojo. Chorashi laksh refers to the 84 lakhs of species. Chorashi means 84, and laksh here means lakhs. Janam means births. Keru means of, and dukh means pains or trials. Vama shojo means to be removed or stopped. So Rhea, what is the overall meaning here of this line?
The pain and trials of the 84 lakhs of births will be stopped, right?
Yes. By going into Param Guru's charan and doing his bhakti, these endless cycles of birth and death will be stopped.
I have a question. Why does each line say the word jo at the end of it? What does that mean?
That is a good question too. I love when you all ask questions. So remember, each prarthna is written in some form of musical melody, and its main function is to connect our words to our bhav. So just in that way, Sri Narayanadas Maharaj has structured this prarthna so that it can reinforce his main point.
Exactly right. So first, he tells us what doing Param Guru's bhakti can do for us and the strength that it can give us. Then with each line, he says, Jo, it will do this as well. Jo, it will do that as well. Aabhi thai, pelu bhi thai, chalo biji prakamma kariye.
Oh, kind of like, look, this happens. Look, that happens. Like that.
Yes, kind of like that. And it's structured to rhyme and flow, so we can remember it and connect to it. Okay, so shall we go on to the next verse? Singers?
Chatura aanthi ghati kaan chatura neetale jo panchami prakammae achala padavi male jo.
So the first line. Chatur aathi ghati khan chatur neetareju. Chatur means four. Aathi ghati is referring to the subsection of the species. So there are 84 lakh species that are categorized into four subsections based on the type of their birds. For example, one of the subsection would be mammals because they are carried in the womb and are born from their mothers. Khan means pit or holes, which is referring to a lowered state. Ni means off, and tale means to stop. But in this context, it means more than just stopped. It also means to be stopped by given a solution. Okay, Kush or Ria, you want to give this one a try?
Haha, I think I'm going to let Kush take this one.
This one seems a little more complex.
Radhi, you want to help them out?
Okay, sure. It does sound like a lot, but in reality, it isn't that much. So did we notice that the word chatur appears twice? Once it's referring to the four subsections that Bhabhi explained, and once it is talking about the four parikramas that we should take around Param Guru. In this line, Narayanadas Ji Maharaj is saying that by taking four parikramas around Param Guru, we remove the pits and falls of each of these four sections of species that our Aunch would potentially have to take birth and rebirth for.
Yes. Okay, and the second line. Panchami prakammai achala padavi mareju. Panchami means fifth. Prakammai means parikrama. Achal means immovable or fixed. Padavi means place with respect to status or seat, and male means to obtain. So let's try this one now.
Okay, I can explain this one. So we are saying that with the fifth parikrama, we will obtain a fixed place or seat. But my question is, what fixed place or seat?
That is a good question. A fixed place in Kaival Dham with Karta. It is fixed because it is permanent. Once you attain it, you have it forever.
So, each parikrama we do around Param Guru is symbolic of something? The first four remove the cycles of birth and death, and the fifth one helps us attain salvation?
Yes, but remember, Narayanadas Ji Maharaj is using this to explain Param Guru's powers and divinity. Param Guru has that much strength and power that just by doing these five parikramas of Param Guru with true bhav and devotion, we can attain this. But we have to be true and loyal to him. Only his true devotees can experience these benefits. All right, singers, next verse, please.
Okay, wait. I have one more question. Didn't we say that Sri Narayanadas Ji Maharaj wrote four parikramas? This verse is talking about five.
I was thinking that too, but I think that as he's singing this first parikrama, he's now referring to the actual rounds we are taking around Param Guru. Like, as we sing this prarthana, we should be actively moving around Param Guru.
Oh yes, so like the first round we walk around Param Guru removes this much, Second round removes this much, and so on. The fifth round gives us this much happiness.
Yes, and the four parikramas we discussed earlier are four separate prarthanas. But as we do each one, we should be taking rounds around Param Guru. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thanks. All right, singers, next verse, please.
Kanak dandavat nami paaye je pare jo sapt gotra laye param pad parvare jo.
Kanak dandavat nami paaye je pare jo. Kanak means gold. Dandvat is one type of whole body gesture in which one lies completely flat on their stomach on the floor. It's called prostration, where you're completely in the prone position. It is a submissive gesture in which we show our complete devotion and humility to Param Guru. Nami means to bow down. Paye means at one's feet. Je pare means one who does.
So, based on previous episodes, I think that Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj is using an analogy here, saying that we should make our dandvat bow as pure as gold. So, like, we should completely bow down to Param Guru.
Very good start. Okay, so remember that this is the first line of a two-line verse, but you are almost completely correct. Let's move on to the second line, and then we can better understand what both lines mean together.
Yes. And so the second line, Sapta Gotra Lai Paramapada Parvarejo. Sapta means seven. Gotra means lineage or generation of ancestors. So the two words combined means seven generation of ancestors. Lai means to take with. Param means highest, and pad means seat or place. These two words combined, Parampad, means highest seat, which refers to a place in Kaivaldham. Parvare means to be able to go back.
So, seven generations of ancestors go back to Kaivaldham? Wait, so how does this relate to the Kanak Dandvat line?
That is a good question. So both of you have explained the meanings of each line almost perfectly. They are just some minor tweaks we need to make. What do you guys think?
Okay, I'm gonna give this another shot. Okay, so is Sri Narayanadashi Maharaj saying that a person who bows to Param Guru's feet with complete purity, like pure gold, has the ability to take seven generations of ancestors to Kaivaldham with them?
That was beautiful. Great job.
Yes, I'm impressed. Good job. So exactly as Kush said, Param Guru's bhakti has that much power and strength that if we bow down to Param Guru completely and totally, and if we keep our intentions as pure as gold, our bhakti will have enough strength and power to attain salvation for seven generations of ancestors. Meaning, we will get to Guru Kaivaldham, known as the Param Pad, but so will they. A parikramama Sri Narayanadasji Maharaj kitlu sikhvadyu che, ne radi kitla bhav karya che ama.
સાચી વાત છે ભાભી. શ્રી નારાયણદાસજી મહારાજે પરમ ગુરુની એવી ભક્તિ કરી છે કે એમને જાણી લીધું તું કે પરમ ગુરુના ભક્તિમાં કેટલી શક્તિ છે. ઇટ્સ ટ્રુલી ઇન્ક્રેડિબલ વન વી અન્ડરસ્ટેન્ડ નારાયણદાસજી મહારાજીસ ડિવોશન એન્ડ ભક્તિ. સો શેલ વી ગો ઓન ટુ ધ નેક્સ્ટ વર્સ.
શરણ સેવ સુખ નિશિર સાધન સૌ ફલે જો ગ્રહી ચિંતામણી જેને હાથ ધરે તે મળે જો.
સો ધ ફર્સ્ટ લાઇન, ચરણ સેવા સુખ નિશિર સાધન સૌ ફલે જો. ચરણ મીન્સ ફીટ, સેવા મીન્સ સેલ્ફલેસ સર્વિસ ઓર પૂજા, સુખની મીન્સ હેપીનેસ. ધ રૂટ વર્ડ હિયર ઇઝ સુખ મીનિંગ હેપીનેસ. ઓકે, શિર મીન્સ હેડ ઓર ટુ બી ઓન ટોપ ઓફ. And in this context, it actually means to be on top of. Sadhan means tools. Sau means all. And phale means fruits.
Wait, before you all continue, can I make a small request?
Of course, what's up?
Can you explain the word-to-word meaning for each line of the verse before we explain it? It just seems like both lines seem connected for each verse.
You are completely right, Rhea. Each verse is a couplet, and both lines contribute to the overall meaning of each verse. And then actually, all the verses combine to contribute to the overall meaning of the entire prathna.
And the prathna is also continuous. The verses are telling a chronological story of sorts. We start by explaining the power of Param Guru's bhakti, starting with one footstep going towards the Dhanvant Pranam. But I also agree with Rhea's suggestion. Radhi, can you explain the word-to-word meaning of the second line in this verse?
Yes, ma'am. All right, the second line. Grahi chintamani jene hath dhare te male jo. Grahi means to hold. Chintamani is a special type of mythological jewel, and it is referred to and referenced in many of our stories and scriptures. It is considered especially rare and valuable because of its magical properties. It is said that whoever holds this jewel in their hand has the ability to wish for whatever they desire. Jene means whoever. Hath means hand. Dhare means whatever one wishes. Te means that. And male means to obtain. All right, so now putting both of these lines together, what do we think the overall meaning of this fourth verse is?
Okay, I got this. All right, so the two lines combine, Jaran Seva and Grahi Chintamani, lines together are saying that by doing Param Guru Seva or Puja, we can obtain all the tools to get to the top, and we will have great strength and power that is greater than what the infamous Chintamani jewel can give.
Yes, exactly right. The Chintamani jewel is known for its magical properties. But if you are Param Guru's true bhakt and do his seva with humility, then you don't need Chintamani because he will provide you with all the tools to get to the highest level of happiness. Param Guru ni sachi seva ana bhakti Chintamani thini pan adhik che. All right, singers, next verse, please.
बिनो चीने चरने चाहूं मत कोई ना जो प्रगट जगत गुरु शरण ग्रहो ओई ना जो.
So the first line, बिनो चीने चरने चाहूं मत कोई ना जो. बिनो means without. चीन in these lines means chinos, which means special markings on Param Guru's body. Charan means feet. Chaho means desire or wishes. Mat means don't do. Koyana means whoever.
Pragata jagta guru sharana graho oyana jo. Pragat means to materialize. Jagt means world. So we know what guru means, right? A high-level spiritual teacher. So the combination of these three words, Pragat Jagat Guru, is actually referring to Param Guru. Param Guru, Jagat Guru banine Pragat thaya che. Sharan means feet. So Charan and Sharan both are synonyms for holy feet, but the word Sharan actually takes it one step further, and it means to take one's holy feet. So it's a symbolism of complete surrender. Graho means to take place within. Oyana means only him, referring to Pragat Jagat Guru. So, what do we think the combination of these two lines mean?
Okay, I can take this one, but hold on. Give me a minute so I can put everything together. Okay, so putting the words in the first line together, we are saying, don't wish for the feet of anyone without special markings. And the second line would be, take a place into Param Guru's holy feet. So, Sri Narayana Das Ji Maharaj is saying that we shouldn't accept just anyone as a guru. We should only make Param Guru our guru because he is the guru of the world. But my question is, what are these special markings he is referring to in the first line? I don't understand that.
Good question. So chinnos are special markings. T think of birthmarks, but different because they have a greater meaning. Param Guru is a Pragat Guru. Param Guru was not born from a mother's womb and does not possess a normal human body the way we do. Param Guru's physical appearance is purely for our visual benefit, so we may connect to him and gain knowledge from him. So, Param Guru's physical body also has special markings. These chinos, the special marking, identify him as the special and divine being. Normal humans do not have such markings on their hands and feet, but Param Guru does because he is divine.
And remember, in Parikrama 1, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj is using this prathana to explain ke Param Guru keva guru che. Param Guru is a divine guru who has special markings on his hands and feet and special abilities. Each marking has a specific meaning and relates back to one of Param Guru's characteristics or skills.
Oh, I remember this now. But wait, what are these chinhos?
Good question. So as we go through the parikrama, we will learn about these chinhos. But for now, shall we go to the next verse? I promise, Rhea, we will answer this very important question you have asked. Singers.
Sukhana sagar dukhani kandana karanar chejo Bhaye darshan danya teno avatar chejo
Sukhana sagar dukhani kandana karanar chejo Sukhana means happiness. Sagar means ocean. Dukh means sadness. Nikandan means to destroy from the roots. Karnar means the doer of. Che means to be.
And the second line of this verse. Bhaye darshan dhanya teno avatar chejo. Bhaye means to be done. Darshan means Param Guru's visualization. Dhanya means blessed but also in a very glorious way. Teno means his or her. This word is a pronoun that shows possession. Avatar means birth or life in this context. And Che means to be. Okay, so the overall meaning?
Okay, so Param Guru is the ocean of happiness and he destroys sadness from the roots. And whoever does Param Guru's darshan has a truly blessed life.
That is correct. Param Guru removes all the root causes of sadness through his gnan and bhakti. Ane Param Guru na darshan karvathi, aajivan dhanya bani jai che. All right, singers, next verse please.
Khud khavane khalik paavane karne aavi aajo. अखंड ज्ञान चरण चीन जो नीलावियाजो
खुद खावन खलक पावन करन आवियाजो खुद means oneself or himself खावन means creator of खलक means world पावन means pure करन means to do and आविया means to come
अखंड ज्ञान चरण चैन जो ने लाविया जो अखंड means eternal or unbroken. ज्ञान is knowledge. चरण means holy feet. चैन means चिन्हो, which remember are special markings. The word जोने is used as more of an attention grabber here. Like look, जोने लाविया छे. And लाविया means to bring with.
Okay. This one seems a little more confusing to put together. I feel like something is missing.
Don't worry, that happens. We addressed this in episode 2 as well. But when we're translating over from the Sanskrit languages or Sanskrit-based languages like Hindi, Prakrit, Gujarati, and when we're translating from those to English, we do lose a little bit in translation. So when we do the word-to-word meanings, there's a little loss. That's why we do the overall meaning to help everyone understand what the overall meaning of the verse is or what the overall meaning of the prathna is. But maybe Bobby and I can step in and help with this one. Bobby, what do you say?
Yes, I agree. Kush and Rhea, you both have been doing a great job so far. I like this. So in this verse, Sri Narayan Das Ji Maharaj is saying that Param Guru himself has descended upon Karta's creation and has purified it with his holy feet. He has brought Karta's eternal knowledge, and he has these very special markings on him that symbolize his divinity and greatness.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure if we would have gotten that.
But that is okay. See, we are all learning here. Even if you get a part of it, it is still a starting point to build from.
I agree. All right, shall we go on to verse 8? I think we are about to address the questions about these infamous Jinhos. Singers?
Ankusha Amara Kulisha Kamala Javya Shobita Jo Dvaja Dhenupata Shankra Chakra Opita Jo.
Ankusha Amara Kulisha Kamala Javya Shobita Jo. So with this first line, Sri Nandaji Maharaj begins to list the chinnos that are on Param Guru's holy feet. Remember, chinnos are markings. These special markings are on the soles of Param Guru's feet and the palms of his hands. They have very specific shapes and each shape is a symbol. Ankush is the elephant gaud or bull hook, which is a special tool used to tame large animals like elephants. Amar refers to the Amar fird, which is a special type of fruit. Kulish is one type of special tool. Kamal is a lotus flower. Javya is a special type of grain plant. And Shobita means to be beautifully adorned on. So in this context, Sri Nandaji Maharaj is saying that these markings beautifully adorn Paramguru.
So you said these Jinhos are symbols, right? Symbols for what? I think you or Radhi said it earlier, but can you remind us?
Yes, these Jinhos are representations or symbols of specific skills or characteristics that Param Guru has or possesses. So we will give a couple of examples in a little bit. But before we do so, let's do the word-to-word of the second line of this verse. So, Dvaja Dhenu Pada Shankha Chakra Opita Jo. Dvaja, or sometimes pronounced Dhaja, means flag. Dhenupad is cow's hoof. Shank is a conch shell. So this is a special type of shell that is used in many ceremonious and cultural settings, and it makes a very loud and alerting sound. Chakra is a special type of circle that has spokes equidistant from one another. And then opita is a synonym for adornment. So these are the chinhos that are also on the soles of Param Guru's holy feet.
So like we said, these chinhos are symbols of special traits Param Guru possesses. We won't example each and every one of these chinhos in this satsang. We will save that for its very own satsang later after. However, we can give a couple of examples for our translations. How about we use Kamal? Radhi?
Sure, Bhabhi. One of the chinhos on Param Guru's feet is a kamad, which is a lotus flower. What is a lotus flower symbolize? To answer this question, let's first ask, where are lotus flowers found? Where do we typically find kamads?
Aren't lotuses mostly found in swamp-like areas?
Yes, they are. So think about this. Lotus flowers are found in swamp-like areas that are very dirty. However, they maintain their beauty and purity. Do they become swampy and dirty? No. In fact, they give the swamp a peaceful and beautiful touch. When people go to an area with lots of lotus flowers, do they notice the swamp or do they notice the flowers? Even if there's only one flower, ek kamad hoy, toh your eyes, your drashti goes to that one kamad. So people will focus on the beauty of that flower over the dirtiness of the swamp.
Right. So this symbolizes how our nature should be. We should never let our environment bring us down. We should always try to positively influence our environment the way the lotus flowers does. In this way, Param Guru has this chinno on him because Param Guru always influences his environment through his divine and pure nature. Param Guru is never influenced by his environment. He always maintains his positivity.
Yeah, wow. That makes a lot of sense. So each one of these jinhos has some sort of meaning like this. I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. I definitely enjoy learning about this symbolism.
I agree, but I am confused about one more. Angus, you said it is a tool used to control large animals. Why would Bhairam Guru have that trait or ability?
So remember, this is symbolism. Ankush is a symbol of control, and it symbolizes Bhairam Guru's ability to have control over each and every aspect of his emotions and behavior.
Right. We are very emotional beings. We can get mad, sad, happy, angry so easily, right? Our emotions and our nature are not always predictable, and we don't always have control over how we feel and behave.
But Bhairam Guru, Guru Maharaj, Divya Purush, Jaya Chinho Leine Avyache, he always remains in control of his feelings and behavior.
That makes sense. Okay, definitely looking forward to learning more about Chinhos.
We will do that for sure. But for now, shall we move on to the next verse? Singers?
Swastika jambu fad kalish sudha sar che jo ard chandra khata kunamina akar che jo
Swastika jambu fad kalish sudha sar che jo. Swastik is a special marking or symbol that we use in pujas and on special occasions. Our parents make swastiks on the front porch during Diwali. Jambu fard is a special type of fruit commonly found in India. Kalash is a small special type of pot. Again, it's also used in pujas and ceremonies. Shudha is a special type of nectar. Sara che means also present. So again, it's another symbol for adorn.
Ardhachandra khatukuna mina akara cheju. Ardhachandra is a crescent moon. Khatukun is a hexagon. Mina is fish. Akar means shapes and referring to all the chinos mentioned above. And che means they are there. So all these shapes are also on Bhairam Guru.
So I know you said we will do an entire new satsang on these, but can you explain the symbolism behind the fish? That one stuck out for me.
Sure, we can do that. So a fish represents fickleness. The way it moves through the water, flapping back and forth, side to side, never staying in one place for too long. So Bhairam Guru has the chinho of the fish on his feet and hands because it represents his mastery over this trait. Bhairam Guru is not fickle. He is very sturdy and mentally strong.
Okay, that makes sense. I can't wait to learn about all of these. Okay. So then, the next verse explains more of the chinhos?
Yes, Ria. The next verse will lead the last set of chinhos. Singers?
Bindu urada rekha ashtakuna angamajo Indra dhanushatriye kone dhare tanmajo
Bindu urada rekha ashtakuna angamajo Bindu is a concentrated dot. Urdhareka means straight vertical line. Ashtakon is an octagon. Angama means to be on his limb. So these shapes are also on Bhairam Guru's feet or limb.
Indra Dhanush Triye Kuna Dhari Tana Majo. Indra Dhanush is a rainbow. Triye Kun, Trikun, is a triangle. Dhari Tana Majo means to have on his body. Dhari means to have, Tan is body, and Ma means on.
So in the past three verses, Sri Narandashi Maharaj has listed the Jinhos on Bhairam Guru as a show of Bhairam Guru's divinity and status. Is that right?
Yes, that is. Bhairam Guru jeva divya purush bija koi nathi. And one of the reasons why no one else compares to Bhairam Guru is the presence of each and every one of these chinhos. Of course, there are also many other reasons, but this is one of the big ones.
But how big are these chinhos? I'm just thinking, like, there are 18 chinhos in total, right?
Yes, that's right.
And these jinhos are on the soles of Bottom Guru's feet and the palms of his hands. So how closely is Narendashi Maharaj observing Bottom Guru to be able to notice each and every one of these markings? Sometimes I barely notice when someone gets a haircut.
I was thinking that too. That is a very good point, Gush. Sri Narendashi Maharaj explains Bottom Guru in such detail.
Pan ej vat samajhvani chene. Right, Radhi? That is exactly the point.
Right, Bhabhi. Pujya Sri Narendashi Maharaj ni bhakti kevi hati. He didn't notice or pay attention to anyone else or anything else except for Bottom Guru. You know, he had actually gone to 12 different dharma panths or organizations before coming to our Gnan Sampraday. So he was in search for true Gnan. And he traveled to so many different ashrams and dharmashalas in this quest. And then finally, someone pointed him to Param Guru and said, "Anya Guru Gadi Gnan Sampraday ma, a Param Guru che ane badane Gnan ape che." So then Narendashi Maharaj came to Sarsa and he did Param Guru's darshan. And he just listened to a small snippet of Gnan that Param Guru was teaching. And he knew this was it. Amari Gayu, Amrut Mari Gayu. And he found everything that he had been searching for. Ave biji bade javani joru rayaj nathi. And from there, Narendashi Maharaj devoted his life to Param Guru.
Ane pachi, after he found Param Guru, pachi Shri Narendashi Maharaj emnu akhu jivan Param Guru ne sopi didu, means he surrendered his whole self to Param Guru completely. Ke jyare e Param Guru na darshan kare, to he does Param Guru's complete darshan and total darshan from head to toe, noticing every feature and every marking. This is a symbol of his devotion and bhakti.
Wow, that is so amazing and inspiring. If I think about these meanings as I sing Upasana, I can sometimes feel myself feeling the emotions a little.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. So this is what prayer is all about. Bhav. Satya, pure and positive bhav towards Param Guru can transcend any boundary. All right, shall we go on to the next verse?
Karuna sindhu kuvir pragat jug mahari jo ang rang anang chabi surat tyavari jo.
Karuna sindhu kuvir pragat jug mahari jo. Karuna means compassion. Sindhu means voluminous or comparing to an ocean. Kuvir is referring to Param Guru. Pragat means to materialize, and this refers to how Param Guru came on our earth. He materialized. He was Pragat. Jugama means within this world. Hari means Lord or Master, drawing a reference to Kaivalkarta's representation.
Ang Rang Ananga Chabi Surat Tyahvariju. Ang means body. Rang means adornment or beauty. Anang is referring to Dev, known as Kamdev. But for our purposes, know that it refers to extreme beauty. Chabi means physical form. Surata means attention. Ta means there. Vari means to be fixed upon. So the overall meaning, Riya or Kush?
I don't know. These two lines seemed very dense.
Yeah, especially after those three verses where we were listing the jinhos. And this seems to go a lot deeper. Maybe you can help us.
Yes, of course. In this verse, Sri Narendashi Maharaj is saying that Param Guru, who is the ocean of compassion, has materialized on this earth as a physical representation of Hari. Remember, Hari is synonymous to Karta. And this physical form is so mesmerizing and beautiful that one's entire attention is completely drawn to him, Param Guru, and focused upon him.
So, Param Guru is like Karta?
Param Guru is our Guru Maharaj. And he is not Karta, but as his shishyas and bhaktos, it is our job to see him as our Hari. Karta has sent Param Guru with all this knowledge for our purposes. And Param Guru is the best and closest physical representation of Karta.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And for our last verse of Parikrama, singers.
Sodai kala sama purana sarve saj che jo Narn das kahe eva maharaj che jo
Sole kala samarpurna sarve saj cheju. Sole means 16. Kala are special powers. Samapurna means to be complete. Sarva means all. Saj means ornaments. And che means there or are present.
Narana das kahe eva maharaj cheju. Narandas is Sri Narandasji Maharaj. He is referring to himself in the third person. Gahe means to say, Eva means this type, Maharaja refers to Param Guru, and Che means to be. So overall, Kush, you got this one.
Okay. So Param Guru is complete with 16 powers and all the ornaments. And Sri Narandasji Maharaj is saying that this is the type of Param Guru that he has. Or, wait, this is the type of Param Guru that we have?
Yes, exactly right. Good job, Kush. So Sri Narandasji Maharaj says that my Param Guru is complete with all 16 powers and all the divine ornaments. And this is the type of Guru Maharaj I have. Mara Param Guru sod kalathin sampurna che.
Okay, wait. These Sor Kala, 16 powers, are different from the Jinhos, right?
Yes, Rhea, they are. Sor Kala, another great topic for satsang. These 16 special powers that Param Guru has, they are different from the Jinhos. These 16 Vibhutis or Kalas that Param Guru possesses are a more accurate representation of his powers and abilities. Karta gave these 16 vibhutis or karas to Param Guru.
So, with this first parikrama, Sri Narandasji Maharaj is explaining what doing Param Guru's bhakti can give us, like how much strength it has. And also, he starts introducing Param Guru's physical form and how they relate to his abilities.
Yes, exactly right. Sri Narandasji Maharaj had so much selfless and humble devotion for Param Guru. There is no parallel. As he moves on to the next parikrama, he continues to explain the next steps in Param Guru's bhakti and connection.
Wow, I just feel so amazing after learning about this entire section. It makes me feel so much closer to Param Guru.
That's great. The more we understand these meanings and connect to these bhavs, feelings, the greater our faith will grow.
Yes, exactly right. So thank you, Kush and Rhea, for being on this episode with us. We loved having both of you. You two made some great contributions.
Thanks for having us. Learning about and connecting to our Upasana is a great way for all of us to continue building our connection to Param Guru.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Bye, Keval Youth. Sat Keval Sahib.
Sat Keval Sahib. Bye, everyone. We will hear you all in 2 weeks with a very, very special episode. Our very first two-episode arc in which we will be dissecting the Guru Stuti, also written by Pujya Sri Narandasji Maharaj.
Yes, we will meet you all then. Until then, thank you to all our guests, helpers, editors, and listeners. We are so grateful for all of you. Sat Keval Sahib. If you ever have any questions about anything, feel free to email us at satsang@kaival.org.
This work is copyrighted 2019 by Kaival Youth, which is a national subsidiary of Kaival Gyan Chicago Foundation. Reproduction in any manner is prohibited without the express consent of Kaival Youth. For more information, visit www.kaival.org or email satsang@kaival.org. All rights reserved. Sat Keval Sahib.